Love you. Okay, thank you.
And praise the Lord, everybody. Nice to see all of you in the house of the Lord today. And I was coming to church, and when I turned the corner, I go by this health and fitness club. And man, the parking lot was just jammed with cars, with people trying to get in shape or stay in shape. And when I walked across the parking lot of the hotel this morning, I almost slipped and fell down, and then I realized it was a little bit icy. But then when I saw that health club kind of jammed with people, you know, I thought, well, I hope God's people will be in God's house and keep in spiritual shape a little bit, you know, and, you know, get a little bit of exercise and clap a little bit, raise your hands a little bit, you know, walk around a little bit, shake hands. That's why we're so spiritually fit in here. But anyway, it's my desire to be a blessing to you this morning and tonight, and also Tuesday night, if the Lord tarries. You know what? I am so tired of this world. I really am. You know, every time we read about Lot and his soul was vexed just being in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, I hope you don't feel comfortable in this world. I really do. And we are strangers here. You know, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. That's why it's always a pleasure for me to come to Apostolic Faith, because I know that there's a group of people here that really are want to walk in the old paths and do the right thing and not go with the flow and the tendencies, you know, of this present age, which many times are anti-scripture, anti-God. And you can be thankful for leadership that is consistent, all right, in its teaching, and not be carried about with every wind of doctrine, you know, that comes through. So we have great love and respect for Brother and Sister Schumacher and so many faithful members of this church. We really do. So let's open our Bibles while we stand one more moment to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." And let's pray one more time, shall we? Again, Jesus, we do thank you for your presence that is here. God, how you've already ministered to so many. Now, God, help me to minister your word. Let the word of God speak to every heart. You know our spiritual need. You know our spiritual condition today. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. It says, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." That's one thing I like about the message of truth that we preach and believe in this church, the truth of repentance, water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, the truth of receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. I'm glad that children can understand this. You don't have to understand original Greek and Hebrew. But from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Do you understand that this book is holy? It is holy. Do you know why? The author is holy. It is. The author is holy. Now, it says, which are able. Now, the word of God is able to make everyone wise unto salvation. But sometimes the attitude of the heart and the spirit hinders the word of God from making them wise unto salvation, all right, which we understand is through faith in Christ Jesus. But then it says, all scripture, every word of God, every word in this book, every word is given by inspiration of God. Literally, it is God-breathed, God-breathed, and it is profitable for instruction, all right, for doctrine, for teaching, all right, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That is why anytime there's any reproof given, when I pastored, I always wanted to have the word of God be the voice, not me be the voice. Anytime there's teaching, I want people to hear the voice of God, not my voice, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. In other words, for instruction in righteousness, this means living in conformity to the will of God and to a life that is actually pleasing to God. But none of that, there would be no real doctrine, no real reproof for correction or instruction in righteousness without this book. There are so many books written today. My granddaughter works in a bookstore, and I admit I take advantage of her discount, you know what I'm saying? But, folks, but I walk in there and I'm overwhelmed by all the books, I mean, even the religious section, books on heaven, books on the Holy Ghost, books on God, books on Jesus, books, and I keep thinking, this is the best book of all right here, you know, to sum it all up in just one place. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You understand that every week in the Sunday paper, they have the New York Times bestsellers list. You know, they have the fiction and they have the nonfiction. And it's amazing if a book is on there for 1 week, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 40 weeks. And people make such a big issue of that. But you can go out here and pay, I don't know, $27 for the hardback of the latest bestseller. And you read it one time. Just put it on the shelf. You never read it again. Why? I mean, you know, because you already know what it says. It just, like one man said, I mean, in this book, we read the back of the book and we win, you know? But we still read it again and again. No wonder the little girl said that the word of God is just like an orange. And the teacher said, what do you mean it's like an orange? The little girl said, because you can squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it and there's still some juice left in it. You know what I'm saying? Amen. In this book, you can hear it preached, hear it preached, hear it preached, hear it preached. But there's always, amen, some truth that comes from the word of God. Amen to you. Amen. Now, I'm so thankful, amen, that the fact that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, it is God-breathed. Now, I read about a man by the name of Voltaire who was a strong atheist from France. And he mocked the word of God, and he mocked faith in Jesus Christ. And he declared that the word of God and Jesus Christ will soon be forgotten. But do you know what? Amen. The very house that he lived in is a storeroom for the word of God today. Amen. Over in France. Amen. Because this book is above all other books. I mean, as the ocean is over one little drop of water, as the sun is over a flickering candle, that's the position this book should have in your life. The Bible says that the grass is going to wither and the flower is going to fade, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever, forever. Amen. The grass is going to wither, the flower is going to fade away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. But my word shall never pass away, Jesus said. The Bible says even tongues are going to cease. And I'm glad for the emphasis that we put on speaking with other tongues as the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I read a statistic the other day that now they say only 10% of people in the Assembly of God Church actually have the experience of speaking with other tongues. Amen. And yet at one time they were known to be as a Pentecostal group. So God help us to never never lose the fact that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost in this church. And amen. But we still cannot put more emphasis on anything else, amen, than what the Word of God says. And the Bible says that even tongues are going to cease, but the Word of the Lord shall never, 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 never pass away. Amen. And someone says, I want God to speak to me. You know, every time you read this book, God is speaking to you. This is His voice. 9 times in the first chapter of Genesis, it says, and God said, let there be light. God said, let there be trees. Do you understand? There's creative power in the Word of God. It says in Hebrews 11, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The reason the sun comes up every morning is because my God told it to. The reason the moon comes up every night is because my God told it to. The reason this earth revolves, amen, at 23.5 degrees, amen, angles, because my God told it to. These worlds were framed by the Word of God. So there's creative power in the Word of God. That's why when you come into a church where the Word of God is emphasized and the Word of God is preached, there's still creative power in the Word of God. Folks, I mean, you can get a new spirit. You can get a new attitude. You can get a new heart. You can get a new mind. Amen. You can get new hope. You can get new strength. All because the Word of God is being preached unto you. It is literally, this book is literally the Word of God. Prophecy came not by the will of men, but holy men spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Now, this book, 66 books, 1,189 chapters, 31,173 verses, 773,692 words. Amen. And do you know what? You can just squeeze it and squeeze it and squeeze it, and it still ministers to you. Now, I've traveled in many countries of the world, and I think I could live on French bread, real butter, all right, raspberry jam, and a cup of coffee, really, you know. I mean, how can it be so good? Now, in the United States of America, when they make bread, put it on top of the refrigerator, you know, put a little twister on it. I mean, And 2 weeks later, it's still soft. I think they put embalming fluid in American bread, you know? There's so many chemicals in American bread. But in France, you go out and buy a loaf of French bread. I mean, every morning they go buy it. I mean, and it's crusty on the outside and it's so tender on the inside. And you just break it and it just snaps in two and it is so good. But by the end of the day, it is so hard, you can almost pound nails with it because they don't put embalming fluid in French bread, all right? Because it is fresh every day, you know? And folks, and that's how it is with the Word of God. Folks, it is fresh every day. Amen. That's why the Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God every day. Now, I remember I read an interesting article one time about a man by the name of Vito Matti, M-A-T-I is his last name, a college student. He was studying over in Barcelona, Spain, and he was in this old library, and he was working on a thesis, and he opened up a book, and in the book, he found the will in the testament of some man in Spain, you know, I don't know how many years ago it was, but the man was dead, and the man said, anyone that finds this, this is my will and testament to whoever finds this, all right, in this book. So this young college student, 24 years old, takes it to the courts of Spain, and it's a valid will and testament. And suddenly, all right, he inherited over $250,000 and a 17-acre estate and a 15-room mansion. Amen. All because he found it in a book. But in this book, folks, amen, there's better, amen, than the 17-acre estate and $250,000. This book is the will of God for your life. It's the will of God you be delivered from sin. It's the will of God you be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's the will of God, amen, that you go to heaven. It's the will of God, amen, that you walk with him hand in hand every day. Amen. It's all because it is in this book. Now, holy men speak as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that folks, there was such care and you know, just caution every time that this book was translated. I was born and raised in Duluth, Minnesota. It's not a major city in the United States, but it is one of the finest Bible museums that I've ever been in. And when you take a tour just of this little storefront museum, they explain to you how when the Jews wrote on manuscripts that every time they were going to write the name of God, folks, they would change their garments. They would change the quill on their pen. They would bathe and wash themselves one more time because it was so holy to them. Holy to them. Amen. And they took such care. And in 300 AD, Diocletian, a Roman emperor, he said, I'm going to burn every manuscript I can find. I'm going to just get rid of God and I'm going to get rid of his word. And they would just go through people's home that they knew were Christians and burn the manuscripts after it took years and years and years to write them. And he went into one Christian's home. And he says, all right, where are your manuscripts? And he said, they're in my heart. Do you know what? This word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word hid means hoarded. You know. If there's any women here that kind of, you know, you can the beans and can the tomatoes and can the jelly and down in your basement and you have all these rows and rows and rows, you know, of canned goods. Folks, that's how God wants his word, amen, to be in your heart. Thy word have I hid, that have I stored up by my heart that I might not sin against thee. During the dark ages, the manuscripts that were written, they were chained to a public reading post. People would stand for hours in a line, you know, to get up to the public reading post and read what the Word of God said. The average Christian at that time made $9 a year, 3 cents a day. They would have to save 20 years to buy their own manuscript of the Word of God. In 1364, John Wycliffe was the first one to put the Bible into English because the Catholic Church, in its preeminence and in its dominance, they wanted people to be ignorant of what the Word of God says. They would not give them totally, you know, what everything the Bible said. They would just tell them what they wanted the Bible to say unto them. But it took him 22 years to translate the Word of God into English. All right? His version cost $112, and the Catholic Church hated him so much that even after he died, they dug up his grave and ground up his bones and cast it to the wind because they did not want people to have knowledge of what the Word of God really said. In 1525, William Tyndale, all right, and I mean, they would take his translation, smuggle it into France, all right, in bales of cotton, all right, but in 1536, the Catholic Church publicly strangled him and burned him at the stake for his promotion of the Word of God. But here in the United States of America, you can buy the Bible at Cracker Barrel, you can buy it, I don't know if you can even buy it at Bob Evans, but it seems like the Word of God is for sale everywhere, but yet it's a book that is so unread. It is a soul book not adhered to. It is, but folks, I want you to know what was put into this book, amen, that we could have it on our laps this very day. If you have not read the Bible through one time, I wish that would be one of your goals for 2014. It says, I'm going to read the Bible, amen, from Genesis to Revelation, because it is more to be desired than gold, yea, more than much fine gold, and it is God speaking to me. But we're living in a day where this book is under such higher criticism. Folks, we were talking learned men, scholars, attorneys, college professors want to tear this book apart. They want to do it. All right, so people want to find fault with the Word of God. I mean, we're living in a day of you know, where people believe in evolution. Do you know, I think one of the main reasons people want to believe in evolution, because it comes down to the fact, if God didn't create me, God has no right to judge me. But do you know what? God created us. I mean, folks, the evolutionists believe that there was a little pond of water. You know, they don't know where the water came from, though, but there was a little pond of water, and there was a little bolt of lightning, boom, that hit this pond of water. And in that pond of water was this little one-celled protozoa. And suddenly, this protozoa just got some life and energy and, you know, and you know, and it just, you know, started to grow lungs and grow eyes and grow ears and, you know, and, you know, and, you know, and then it, and then some of this water was washed over a bank, you know, into a river, and then some of this protozoa to fight against the stream, they developed more muscles, you know, so, you know, so they could swim, and then they developed bigger gills so they could breathe, and, you know, and then another tail so they could swim faster. So then there were big protozoa, little protozoa, big fish, little fish, you know, and, you know, and then one day one of these waves washed some of these fish up onto the sand. And they were breathing so hard they developed better lungs. All right. And, you know, and so some were floating in the water, some were swimming in the water, and now some are just on the sand, you know, and how did they get around on the sand was but just a squiggle on your belly, and they developed the best little stomach muscles you could imagine. And, you know, and because they were squiggling so long, I mean, they grew and became like snakes, you know. So some were floating in the water, some were swimming in the water, some were squiggling on the sand, you know, and then one of them suddenly four legs popped out, and some were crawling on the sand, and some were walking on the sand. And then one of these days, one of these walkers was walking, and their head hit a tree. Said, I wonder if I can climb this tree. So he got those four legs, you know, and he got around this tree, and man, he climbed the tree. So some were floating in the water, some were swimming in the water, some were squiggling on their belly, some were crawling on all fours, amen, and some were in the trees. Wow, but it was hard to keep your balance in this tree. So he was going to fall off, and suddenly a tail grew, and his tail wrapped around the branch, so now he could swing in the trees and not fall down. And while he was now he could reach the bananas easier, and now he could just sit on the tree limb with the balance of his tail and peel the bananas he need them. And one day this monkey was swinging so hard that it fell out of the tree, landed on his hind legs, put on a pair of pants, and said, I'm a man. You know, great. Now that's what the evolutionists believe. Now I like to go to the zoo, you know, and I enjoy looking at the monkeys too, you know. But of all the times I've been to the zoo, I've never seen a monkey just suddenly become a man right there. Every year on January 1st, they say the first baby born this year is. They never say the first monkey turned into a man this year is. But folks, I'll tell you, folks, evolution is anti-God. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And amen, God's the one who created man. But people say, I'm not gonna believe what I can't understand. Man, I don't understand how that engine and pistons work in my car, but I believe if I put my key in it and turn it, it's gonna go, you know? I mean, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and make yellow butter and white milk, you know? But I believe it. I don't understand how a hog can have bristles and a horse can have hair and sheep can have wool and chickens can have feathers. But I believe it. I'm going to find fault with the Word of God. Do you understand there are 85,000 different species of flies? You know, I don't like any of them, you know. I mean, the average person cannot even tell you about the fly. Let me tell you about the average fly. Number one, it has six legs. Six legs. And on the bottom of every leg is 1,000 sticky hairs. That's why they can walk on the ceiling upside down, okay? And walk up walls. All right? All right. They have 2 eyes, and every eye has thousands of lenses, so you can see them coming from every angle. They can see you coming from every angle. That's why it's hard to get them with the fly swatter, you know? They have 2 wings that beat 1,500 times a second. People cannot even tell you about the common household fly, but yet they want to find fault with this book. I don't know, folks. There's something weird in this world. There really is. I mean, I believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And if you want to get specific, it says in the book of Matthew that God prepared a great fish. You know, they caught a whale June 1st, 1912 in Key West, Florida. It took 49 hours, 9 harpoons, and 150 bullets to kill this whale. All right. It crushed the propellers of a 31-ton yacht. All right. It was over 45 feet long. All right. It had thousands of teeth, and inside, just its liver weighed over 150 pounds. All right. And inside of it, it had caught another fish that weighed 1,500 pounds. So if the Bible says God prepared a great fish and swallowed Jonah, I believe that. Like the little Christian said when he was on the witness stand, and the attorney said, "Do you really believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale?" The little Christian says, "I believe it." And if the Bible says that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe that too. Folks, there's no line in this book. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 37 in our Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 37. Jeremiah chapter 37. Verse 15, wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is, for," said he, "thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." See, because the Chaldeans came and surrounded the city, but then the Egyptian army came. So the Chaldeans left. So the Israelites thought they were safe because the armies of Egypt were going to protect them. But then Jeremiah said, "No, the armies of Egypt are going to leave and the Chaldeans are going to come back." But because they did not like what Jeremiah preached, they put him in a prison. So, but that's when Zedekiah the king came and asked him secretly, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "Yeah, there is, because the Egyptians are going to go, the Chaldeans are going to come back, and you're going to be taken into captivity." Listen, that is why for this church, don't ever take this pastor and put him in a prison. You can put a pastor in prison with your attitude, with your spirit. You can sit up there and just stop up your heart to what the word of God is speaking unto you. But you need to come in to the house of God with your spirit and attitude wide open. Amen. And let the word of God penetrate your heart. Amen. And your mind and your spirit and your attitude. And when you come in here with questions and decisions and say, "Is there any word from the Lord?" You know, some people, you know, go ahead and make a decision and do a thing, and then they'll come back and they'll try to find something in the word of God that backs up what they did. But what you need to do before how you live, how you dress, amen, what your lifestyle is, this is the book you need to consult first and say, "Is there any word from the Lord about this situation or circumstance in my life?" But it's surprised, but we are living in a day where individuals cannot endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, after their own fleshly desires, they're going to go out here and find a church that tells them what they want to hear. But in this day, folks, of rampant sin, you know, there's never been more of the devil, and there's never been fewer people that believe in the devil. Folks, I mean, There's no sin anymore. Do you know why? Because people just don't ask, is there any word from the Lord? Now in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 9, it says this. It says, the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Folks, we are living in a day where the wise men are going to be ashamed and they're going to be dismayed and taken. Do you know why? Because they have rejected the word of the Lord. I like to buy the USA Today newspaper every Monday because on the back page of the front section, they have a religion section, and it just kind of tells you, you know, different things that are happening in different religions around the world. And I like to buy it every Friday because there's summaries of things. And I read some of these columns, and these guys have been to MIT. They have their BA and their BS and their BLT. They have all these degrees, and I mean, and they're writing all these things. And I read it, and folks, honestly, I look at that and I said, that's not true. Do you know why? Because it doesn't coincide with what the Word of God says. What wisdom is in somebody out here that rejects the Word of the Lord? Folks, honestly, I just preached a ministerial conference down in Virginia. I was the main speaker, and this pastor down there brought up another little friend of his from Kentucky. He pastors a little country church, you know, and his grammar was bad, his English was bad, but he was the most humble, precious man. And when he ministered and I'm sitting out there, I'm saying, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for men like this. Folks, it says in Psalm 119 that you know more than the ancients if you know what the Word of God says. I don't know if you have your degree or not. I don't know if you can read or write. And do you know what? It doesn't make any difference to God at all. But I want you to know, when you really take this book and make it a part of your life, you are wiser than the wise. And you know more than the man from MIT. I heard a man say the sun is going to last for another billion years. No, he needs to read this book. Folk, heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. Folks, in the same world that was destroyed by water is now reserved unto fire. There's no hope for this world. The only hope you have is going to be found right in this book and in your relationship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. So, folks, they are dismayed and they are taken and they are ashamed because they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom lieth in them? And if there was ever a time for God's true people, amen, the apostolics, to really stand by this book. Amen. This is going to be 2013 into 2014 if Jesus tarries. Because, I mean, people say, is there any word from the Lord concerning the Trinity? Not one. Not one. The word Trinity is not even found in the Bible. I remember when I was in Apostolic Bible Institute, there was three of us guys from Apostolic Bible Institute working in this factory. And, you know, there was five other guys from other theological seminaries in the Twin City area. So on our lunch hour, we would always discuss things. But it would always get back to the Trinity or one God. So finally, I talked to this one young man. I said, listen, bring me the book you're studying, you know, on the Trinity. He says, okay. So he brought it, and I opened up the book. And the first sentence in the book said, the doctrine of the Trinity is the greatest mystery in the universe. And I said, yes, I agree with that. No man can explain the Trinity. I said, yeah, that's true. The first question at the end of chapter one was, please try to explain the doctrine of the Trinity. And they already said, no one can explain it. But do you understand? There's no word from God about a Trinity. But is there any word from the Lord concerning one God? Yes, there is. There's only one God. There's not two. There's not three. There's not a million. There's one God. And do you know what? God is spirit. So you cannot see God. That is why the Bible says God was manifest in flesh. And that's why, folks, at this Christmas time, if you set up a little manger scene and this little, you have this little baby, you know, laying in the manger, and here's the shepherds and the sheep and the wise men. Do you know what? That little babe, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. I wish I had said it first, but I heard a Baptist preacher say on his radio program, that little baby was deity in diapers. I don't know if he understood what he was saying, but folks, when you get to heaven, you're not going to see the Father on one throne, the Holy Spirit on another throne, and Jesus on another throne. There's only one throne. There's only one sitting on the throne. Amen. And there's only one God, and his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So the wise men are dismayed and taken because they reject what the word of the Lord says. The terms God the Son and God the Holy Ghost are not even found in Scripture. Co-equal, co-eternal, not found in Scripture. Three persons, not found in Scripture. Folks, there's no wisdom in individuals if they don't take this book and acknowledge that it is given by inspiration of God. Amen. Is there any word from the Lord concerning water baptism? There really is. Do you know everyone in this book was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? There's not one baptismal service where, folks, anyone was baptized with titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost called over them at a baptismal service. That is why it is beautiful when individuals that were baptized in titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost suddenly come in here and they don't reject the word of the Lord, but they obey the word of the Lord. And they let the word of God be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path. Pathway. Folks, is there any word from the Lord concerning marriage for same-sex couples? There is not. Folks, this is the marriage manual for a one man and one woman. There's no marriage manual for two men and two women. And again, folks, I really have a burden for the United States of America. I always have, but stronger than ever. Folks, with the Supreme Court, folks, with the President, folks, with Congress, folks, with the whole attitude of the world, you know, and I may have said it here recently, but the magazine called The Citizen, put out by Dr. James Dobson, you know, brings out all these statistics about homosexuality and so forth, and they asked this one homosexual, said, now that the government recognizes you, are you happy now? And they said, no, we're not happy till the church recognizes us. And I want you to know they're going to come to apostolic, they're going to go to every church that's against homosexuality, try to make them to marry them, and if not, bring lawsuits against the church. They already have a lawsuit against the bakery that wouldn't want to bake a cake for them, against this photographer that didn't want to take their picture. Listen, this world's not getting better. This world is getting worse. And folks, and already in Canada, they can put someone in prison, folks, simply because, you know, he preaches against homosexuality according to what the Word of God says. So I don't know how much longer, folks, it's going to be before it's that way in the United States of America. And folks, God loves the homosexual, just like he loves the drug addict and the drunkard and the liar and everybody else. But folks, but the Bible says it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man and a woman with a woman. And folks, but folks, the world is rejecting the word of the Lord. What wisdom is in them? What wisdom is in them? But I believe all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Folks, and again, if the Bible says, you know, that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that too. And folks, if the Bible is against, you know, same-sex marriages, then there needs to be a group of people that agrees with what the Word of God says, and we're against it too, folks. But we are living in a world where people reject the Word of the Lord. So as a result, I believe, folks, one of the things that's going to bring the judgment of God is this rampant homosexuality. Folks, now, starting in kindergarten, folks, there are curriculums in schools, folks, that teach little kids to put dresses on men and pants on women. And folks, and from the very beginning, folks, they want to change the whole mentality, folks, of everything that God created from the very beginning. Everyone in this church, you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. You need to understand, folks, that the Word of God is right. Folks, and you know what? The laws of the Supreme Court are going to pass away. Folks, I mean Joseph Smith is going to pass away. What Confucius said is going to pass away. Someday every man and woman, amen, when they stand before God, this is the book that they're going to be, that's going to be opened. I want to be baptized the way this book says to be baptized. I want to live the way that this book tells me to live. Listen, this book tells you how to handle your money. Tells you how to treat your enemy. How to treat your spouse. You know, it tells you how to live, how to walk, how to talk, how to dress. It teaches modesty. It talks to the woman. It talks to the man. It talks about our spirit. It talks about our attitude. But we're living in a day where people kind of want to go through the Bible and take the parts they like and keep it, and take the parts they don't like and ignore it. But again, no individual in this building has the right to ignore the parts you don't like. The Bible's either absolute or it's obsolete. That's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and how can you hear without a preacher? That's why true faith that brings you to a place of repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Folks, I mean, this is where you're going to hear it. I don't know about other churches in Racine. If they invite me to preach for them, you know, if a Baptist church wants me to come, I'll be happy to do that, you know. But folks, but in this church, sometimes I feel we just really take it for granted of what we hear in here. That was the problem in the book of Malachi. The people said they snuffed at the word of the Lord. And then they said, what a weariness this is. Listen, please don't ever get tired about hearing Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the Holy Ghost and one God. Don't ever get tired of hearing about righteous living and godly conduct. I mean, don't ever do that, because there's scriptures that are going to make thee wise unto salvation. No wonder Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Yes. Preach the word. Preach the word. So is there any word from the Lord? We are living in a day where people say, well, if the Holy Ghost tells me, I'll do this. If the Holy Ghost is already telling you in this book, because holy men were moved on by the Holy Ghost. I believe with all my heart, if you don't hear it from this man or any guest minister in this pulpit, you're not going to hear it from anybody else. Well, if the Lord would send me an angel, do you know whatever God says, he's going to say it through men? An angel appeared to Cornelius. And, you know, because he prayed. You know, and then the Cornelius is saying, what should I do? The angel could have told him what to do. But the angel said, you send for Peter at Joppa, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. You know, here is Saul on the road to Damascus, persecuting the church. You know, the Lord appears unto him. The Lord appears unto him. You know, I mean, and the Lord could have told them exactly what to do, but no, the Lord said, you go search for Ananias, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. Folks, the rich man died and went to hell. And you know, and the rich man said, oh, let Lazarus go back and tell my brothers they need to repent. No, and know what the Lord said? If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they're not going to hear one, though they be raised from the dead. So if you sit out there and you hear things from this pulpit and you don't believe it from the ministry in this pulpit, you're not going to believe it though an ancestor comes back from the dead and tells you. Or there's not going to be any angel giving you handwriting on the wall. Listen, everything you need to know is found right here in this book. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Is there any word from the Lord? Now, that's why it says, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So that's why the word has such value, folks, and importance in a relationship with God. Because, folks, Jesus told his disciples, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And now we are told that God is going to sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. Because every time you come to church, it's your spiritual bath, it's your spiritual shower. Folks, it's your spiritual dry cleaning service. Amen. Because, folks, the word of God has a cleansing effect on individuals that believe it and accept it. That's why it's important to be in God's house on Bible study night. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's why if Brother Schumacher announces a revival Wednesday through Sunday, don't say, oh, no, I'm so busy. Say, thank you, Brother Schumacher. You mean I get to go to church a few more times this week? Hallelujah. Man. I mean, it's bad when you go 5 days without a shower. You know, it really is. But anyway. Let's turn to the book of James, shall we? The book of James, chapter 2. Excuse me, James chapter 1, all right, verse 23 or verse 22, it says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And this is the day we're living in where people just come and hear something, shake the preacher's hand on the way out the door, you know, and say, well, that was a good sermon. But just don't be hearers of the word. Be ye doers of the word. If any man will hear my words and do them, I will liken them unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. It's surprising how, you know, how a storm can come into people's lives and it just suddenly moves them from a total relationship with God. And I've said it in this pulpit before, you soon discover that you still get flat tires and mosquito bites after you get the Holy Ghost. You're not exempt from cancer, from unemployment, from setbacks, from discouragements, because you're baptized in Jesus' name. But folks, I mean, the rain falls on the just and on the unjust. The same storm comes against both houses. But some people, when the storm comes, they stop coming to church. No, that's when you need to keep coming to church. Don't stop praying, keep praying. Don't stop reading the Bible, keep reading the Bible, because I just don't want to be a hearer, I want to be a doer. So when someone offends you, the Bible tells you what to do. Folks, you know, the Bible tells you to turn the other cheek. If the man wants your cloak, give him your coat also. If he wants you to go 1 mile, go two. Folks, I'll tell you, that this book is not for wimps. It really isn't. Amen. It takes strength to be a Christian, but the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So to think if we do it, we're wise. Folks, if we sit under it, folks, we are clean. If we use it as a mirror, it tells us how to guide our life. Folks, and the Bible says, you know, that I esteem the word of God more than my necessary food. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, is what Jeremiah said. So I guess I just want to encourage you to understand what you have when you have this book. It's not just something we casually carry. Folks, individuals died that we could have this written word in our laps today. So, I mean, what a good goal to read the word of the Lord in 2014. Let's turn to the book of Exodus chapter 12 in our Bibles. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and he shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly, the congregation of Israel, shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper posts of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. All right, eat it, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs and with the puritans thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until morning, ye shall burn with fire, and thus shall ye eat it. You're going to eat it with your loins girded, and the shoes on your feet, and the staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. In other words, God's going to deliver them, take them out of Egypt, bring them to the promised land. And God said, now listen, when you take this lamb, you got to eat it because I'm going to be taking you out of here. So be ready to go. You need to have your loins girded, shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, and you're going to eat it in haste. Folks, this is not the time to be lackadaisical, laid back, and saying, well, the Lord's not coming. I mean, I've been raised in this. Churches would always sing about the coming of the Lord. But now I'm in church. I can't remember the last time I was in an apostolic church and they sang that Jesus is coming or something about the coming of the Lord. And so that's why the Bible says in the last day, scoffers are going to rise and say, where is the promise of his coming? But Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. And folks, this is not the time to get lazy-cold and laid back. But I think we need to keep shoes on our feet. Amen. Our loins girded, staff in our hand, and be ready to go. Amen. And God said, you're going to eat all the lamb. So do you understand that the word was made flesh and dwelt among us? Folks, just don't eat all of this book. Eat it all. Just don't ignore it. Amen. And ignore the parts you don't like and keep the parts that you do like. Because Jesus Christ is coming again. And he's coming very, very, very soon. I'm not a prophecy preacher. You know, there's so many voices out there. Post-trib, pre-trib, you know, after this and this. I mean, I don't know. But he's coming. You know what I'm saying? And I wonder how much longer the Lord can wait. I just read an article where they're going to make a Hollywood movie called Noah, you know? And I was wondering, you know, I'm not saying it's the Holy Ghost, but I was wondering, I thought, isn't it interesting that the attitude of this Hollywood director is that, you know, the whole world and the homosexuals are pushing their agenda. So he said, I think it's time for Hollywood to push, to make, to just push things from the Word of God on people. I mean, they want to make one on the whole Bible. They want to make one, again, another one on the Passover. And this was the most fascinating article. And then I heard on Fox Radio, you know, their whole discussion was, is a nation going to turn back to God because of this film called Noah? Because is this letting them know God destroyed the whole world with rain, you know, with water? And so I hope they end it. I hope they put a scripture at the end of this movie and say, now it's reserved unto fire. I don't know. And have altar calls right in the movie theater. I don't know. You know, but anyway, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be scriptural. I don't know what they're going to put in it. But I do know, folks, I think it's great, folks, that they're going to do something that is based on scripture and that God destroyed the whole world with water, folks, because there's going to be a judgment. You know, listen, God's not your buddy. You know, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but he's still the just judge of all the earth. Amen. Amen. God loves the sinner, but he's still angry with the sinner every day. Amen. God's going to forgive, but he still has the arrow in his bow, and the bow is bent, and he's sharpening his sword because judgment's going to come. So, folks, if there was ever time to stay in the church, to stay in this word, to eat all the lamb, and have your loins, amen, on, and have a staff in your hand and shoes on your feet to be ready to go, this is the day to do it. Amen. Let's stand and clap our hands that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hallelujah! God, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you have a Bible, why don't you turn around and pick it up? And I do this a lot, you know, because I just don't think we should, you know, put our Bible down and pile stuff on top of it, or, you know, we should always try to respect it. But Proverbs 13:13 says this, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment, he that has a reverential fear of the commandment shall be rewarded. And for everyone in this church that comes in here and has a reverential fear of this book, so much, I don't understand it all, but I believe it. All right, and I'm going to obey it. You're going to be rewarded. going to be rewarded. So we're going to sing this old chorus, "Oh, how I love Jesus." How many love Jesus? That's why I love the book, because I love the author of this book. All right? And, you know, when I call Sister Mackie, I can't wait to hear her voice. I've been listening to her voice now for over 50 years, and I still love the voice. This is his voice to you. I hope you love his voice. And as we sing it, "Oh, how I love Jesus," we're going to come to the stand around this altar. I want you to carry this book with you today again and just treasure it, love it, say it. I want it to be a part of my life. Amen. I love Jesus. I love his voice. And I love his word. And if there's questions in your mind about doctrine, amen, how to live, amen, there's a cleansing at this altar today, and God wants to direct and guide your life. So let's gather close to this altar today as we sing, shall we? Oh, how I love Jesus.